Matthew chapter 9, pick up please at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Let's hear God's word. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. God add his blessing to that public reading from his word. Let's bow our heads now for a moment. Let's seek the Lord together. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come yet again to the mercy seat because we need mercy. We need, Lord, thy grace to help us in this hour of need to preach the word and to understand the word and to love the word of God and ultimately to obey it. We ask for grace for thy servant that he might know the fullness of the Spirit's power, and that thou wilt take tiredness from mind and body of all of us this evening, and thou wilt give us help to listen with the heart. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant a word in season. May we know tonight what it is to have the Lord Jesus come alongside and speak in that still small voice and tell us, here's the way, walk ye in it. We ask it for his namesake and his eternal glory. Amen and amen. The outstanding mark of any true believer, that which separates him from the mere professor, that which separates the professor of Christ from the possessor of Jesus Christ, is that in his heart of hearts, he wants to know and to do the will of God. The Christian's thinking and desire is wonderfully illustrated for us in that response of Paul on the Damascus Road when he was born again by the Holy Ghost. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, acknowledged his kingship, acknowledged his interest in the will of the king. Not only his interest, but his desire to do it, because Paul said, What wilt thou have me to do? We have in verse 38 a very clear revelation of the will of Christ as it concerns the multitudes of lost sinners in this world. Christ says, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. For a few moments this evening, I want to preach on the will of Christ for missions. The will of Christ for missions. The first thing I want you to notice is our supreme responsibility. In this command of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the lost multitudes, we have a clear revelation of our responsibility concerning them. There's something very remarkable here. After seeing the multitudes as he did, and from a heart that was, we saw even last evening, filled with pity and compassion when he saw them, the one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to do was to pray. Yes, he would send them out later on to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the cities and the villages, and to heal the sick and to cast out demons. But the Lord makes clear right here that the supreme responsibility of his people with regards to the multitudes of lost sinners, whether it's 30 million people in Mexico City, whether it's the millions in your country, the millions in my country, wherever it might be, the one clear, what is to be first and foremost is prayer. First thing he says. His heart is filled with compassion. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And the first thing he says is, pray. There was a need for shepherds, for these sheep without a shepherd. There was a need for laborers in this vast harvest field where the laborers were so few and the harvest was ready to be harvested. But the only thing that Christ directs them to do at this time, this moment, was to pray. The response of human reasoning would be to get together as many people as possible as soon as you could and to go out and to get busy to try to tend the fields or to take care of the sheep. That has been, by and large, the response of modern-day Christianity and the evangelization of the lost. The concentration has been upon the men and the methodology and the machinery to try and get as many quote-unquote decisions, you say inverted commas, as you can, and to win, it said, as many souls as possible. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the master soul winner, the master missionary, sets everything straight when he says, pray ye, you pray. Pity and compassion have the ability to move men to do great and even heroic things. But when his heart was full of pity and compassion, it moved the Lord to tell his disciples to pray. It was John Bunyan who put it well when he said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." Our first and chief responsibility concerning missions, concerning the lost, is to pray. Without prayer, prayer that arises from a realization of their sad state, prayer that arises from a heart of compassion, from that burden I mentioned last night, without prayer, our efforts in the harvest field and in leading the sheep into the fold of Christ will have little impact. Without prayer, prayer prepares our hearts to speak to the lost. It puts us in a right spirit. It puts us in a humble spirit, not a judgmental spirit that will turn them off. Prayer brings us to the place where we can obtain power with God so that we can have power with men. If we don't have God's power, as a result of praying for that power, we won't have power with men. No matter how well finely spun our arguments may be, how many verses we can spill off of our mouths and our memories, it won't make any difference if we don't have the Lord's power with us as we witness, as we seek to evangelize the lost. Can't stress this enough. Power comes from prayer. You've heard it all your lives. First time I ever heard it was when I came to the Free Church. Heard men pray like I had never heard men pray. Those men had power. I know because I sat under one. I sat under two particular men. And through their lives, my life was changed. They got my ear. And if you want your lost friends and family and strangers to have listen to your voice, you want to get their ear, you'll need to first pray. Prayer acknowledges the fact that God is the Lord of the harvest. And that's very needful when you're working among the lost. I'll say more about that in just a moment. And I have to hasten to say that it is praying for the lost multitudes that's something that everybody can do. Not everybody has the gift that Albert Macaulay had. He had a gift. He could talk to people. He was a natural. Not everybody has that gift. And it would be wrong to try to impose that upon everybody, every one of the Lord's people, that they've got to be like that. They're not going to be like that. But everybody can pray. Everybody, every believer can pray and pray and pray for the lost multitudes. The lost in your own family, lost in this church, the lost in the immediate neighborhood, the lost in this city, the lost in this province, the lost in Mexico City, the lost in Kenya, the lost in Liberia, and I can go on and on and on. Prayer. I move on to note, in this will of Christ for missions, not only is there our shown our supreme responsibility, but the Lord gives us a simple request for our praying. One single petition. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. It's obvious that with relation to the lost multitudes, the most important thing that we can ask God to do would be to send forth laborers into His harvest. This is first. He sees them. His heart is moved for them. That tells me He's compassionate upon them. He wants to see them have a shepherd. He wants to see them brought into the fold. He wants to see the harvest reaped. And so He says, pray that God would thrust forth laborers into His harvest. The laborers are few. Pray, therefore. That's the petition. Oh, we are to pray for their souls. And we are to beg and plead and cry to God to show them mercy. But first and foremost, we are to ask God to raise up laborers who will go and work in the harvest field. First and foremost. Why? Well, in the first place, if we don't pray for laborers as a denomination, if in our churches we don't have regularly prayers sent up to God, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest, we're not going to get them. You're not going to see young men and young women being called to the mission field if we're not praying for them. There was a shortage of laborers, and then Christ commands them to pray for laborers. What other conclusion can we draw from this? Other than the reason that there was a shortage was a lack of specific prayer for that very thing. The laborers are few. Therefore, you need to pray to the Lord to supply the laborers. Must not have been praying. Ye have not because ye ask not. That covers many things. You have no missionaries because you ask for no missionaries. How often do we hear this request made to God? And how often do we pray it ourselves? What I'm simply saying is that we need to pray individually and we need to pray collectively that God would call more men to the ministry, more missionaries to the field, even for our own denomination. We need to pray that from within our own churches, however small they might be, that God would raise up people who would go and work in the fields of the city, in the byways and highways, and compel them to come in. Dr. Barrett, because we have such a shortage of men even coming forward for the ministry of our own denomination, if the Lord does not raise up men, the church in North America has no future. We're all getting older. We're going to die. And if God does not raise up men, it has no future. He's asked, therefore, that every church would pray at least one man, that God would raise up one young man from every congregation and call him to the ministry. But if every free church would pray, Lord, just raise up one missionary from every church. You've got 50 on the field. And you're not limited to Liberia, to Kenya, and Spain. You've got a whole world. If we don't pray for laborers, we won't get them. He also tells them to offer this petition because there was a shortage of laborers. I stress now the word laborers. The word laborers means just that. One who works. one who labors, one who expends much energy and effort. The old saying was, the Lord needs workers, not shirkers. That's true. The fact of the matter is that while there are many who assume the title and position of being a laborer, there are few who actually labored. It's obvious from what he's saying here. Pray for laborers for the harvest field. We're facing the same thing in our own day. Christians who are willing to labor, willing to pull up roots, say goodbye to family, to spend and be spent, to sacrifice, to get down to the blood and sweat and tears of hard work in the harvest field, they seem to be few and far between. And it is hard work. The ministry is hard work. Missionary work is hard work. I've been given a plethora of illustrations since I started to lose weight back last mid-June. Those of you who have seen me before and see me now, you will have commented, well, you have lost some weight, haven't you? They're being polite, you know. You're not the fat guy you used to be. So mid-June, I started on a program of exercise, aerobic and weight training, and the hardest thing was not doing the push-ups, it was doing the push away from the table. That's a lot of work. And it's been a challenge being in your country because you folks have sweets around all the time. But you know, losing 3 stones is a lot of work. Hard work. But I would never lose the weight if I didn't do the hard work. You'll never see the multitudes brought to Christ without hard work. And so therefore, there's a need to pray that the Lord would raise up men who would work and women who would work, who aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. Not like the nobles in the building of Nehemiah's wall who would not put their necks to the work because they thought it was beneath them. But who are willing to go anywhere and do anything to see the harvest brought in. To see the Lord's sheep for whom he died brought in. I say they're few and far between. This phrase translated in our authorized version that he would send forth, just not strong enough. The word actually means thrust forth. It gives the idea of a force, a power coming in, and there is an opposing force, an opposing power that doesn't want it, and so you thrust it forth. It's actually the same word that is used of Christ casting out demons. Thrusting forth. Sending forth. A force opposing it. The idea here is that the laborers are so few because there's an aversion to the work that's got to be done in the harvest. The reason for that reluctance to labor, the reason for that reluctance to go to the mission field, for many, a believer might be reluctant because there's a spirit of indifference and sloth that has simply settled into his soul. He's gotten spiritually lazy. He doesn't really care about the multitudes. Doesn't think about the multitudes. Never bothers to pray about the lost. There's just no interest. His interest perhaps has been taken up with making as much money as he can, as buying as much material possessions as he can, to living as comfortably as he can. When you do that, when it's all about how much I can get and how comfortable I can make life, how many toys and gadgets I can get, How much I can put away for my retirement so I will be comfortable when I'm old. It leaves one with no concern, no desire to work. Affluence will ruin a people. ruin you. There's only one remedy for such a believer. God Almighty thrusting her into the harvest field. We need to pray that God would thrust forth such believers into the harvest field. But there are young men, there are young women perhaps who are just right now living in a cold, careless state. And they would be just prime men and women to go to the mission field or to go and to fill pulpits. We need to pray that the Lord would call them and wake them up and shake them up. Others are reluctant to labor in the harvest field because they feel their own weakness for the task that's before them. Their inability to actually go. There might be someone here tonight who's felt that way. Perhaps you've been struggling. Who am I to go be a missionary? I could never do that. You know, I would much rather see that attitude than see some young men that I've seen they think that the church is just waiting for them to hear their wonderful talent in preaching. When I see that, I am turned off immediately. I'm not interested. But when I see someone who's afraid because they see their own weakness and their inability, yes, that's someone that God will work with. That's someone God will work in. Because they're going to realize it's not going to be me. If anything's going to be done, it'll be the Lord working through me. I like that spirit. I like that attitude. I have no time for cockiness and arrogance in the ministry or in the mission field. You know, John Knox, when they called him to be the minister of the church, he ran out of the building and hid himself. How could I take such a position? I like that spirit. And when you have that overwhelming sense of inadequacy, you need the Lord to thrust you out. And we need to pray, therefore, that God, Lord, whoever you might be thinking of, Lord, thrust them. Exercise your sovereign power. Give them the grace to get over their feelings of inadequacy, that they can be for you vessels fit for your service. There is amongst most Christians, I think, an innate fear of man. We don't find it easy to talk to sinners about their souls. And the fear of man bringeth a snare, as Scripture says, and it certainly keeps us from working among the lost, and therefore we all need to be praying that no matter how unwilling the workers may be, that the Lord would compel them to go out and labor. We need to pray. Pray specifically. Here's Jesus Christ revealing His will. Pray this. The work is hard. And yes, it can be and often is very discouraging. So much labor, and it seems so little to show for it. But there is that promise, and you've heard it for years. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hearing our brother Colin tonight encouraged me. I have a part in the Harvest Times newsletter, and I've been watching Colin's plowing championships over the years as he gives his reports. I didn't know about these young people. Thrilled my heart. It's worth it all. 7 souls not going to hell. But it's been a long haul. A lot of hard work. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see what Christ saw when he looked upon the multitudes. Sheep without a shepherd. The harvest needing to be harvested, but no workers. And just what does he do when facing that situation? He tells people to pray. And when things look bleak and discouraging, we should therefore pray. And the bleaker it gets, the more we should pray. Let me tell you that if we are busy praying that God would address the situation by raising up laborers for the harvest, we would then do less complaining about our situation, and we wouldn't be discouraged. There's not only the reason for this request, but there is a reminder in this request. And note carefully that Christ introduces them to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He refers to it again as His harvest. The owner of the farm, he wants that work done in his field. And God alone, who can call men and equip believers for working in the field, He's the Lord. He didn't tell the disciples to make, qualify, and send out laborers. That is God's work alone. God alone is able to furnish men with the gifts that they're going to need. There's no seminary, there's no theological hall that can do that. I teach homiletics, which is the art of preaching. I can't make preachers. I can't do it. I can train them to do certain things about sermon preparation and sermon outlines and all that, but I cannot make a preacher. God is the only one who can make a preacher. God is the only one who can make a missionary. It's His harvest. It's not ours. It's His. He's the Lord of the harvest, and ultimately it is His responsibility to see that there are laborers for the harvest. Ultimately, it's His. This missionary conference you've had for a number of years, I know not how many. The great need is for missionaries. There's no doubt about the fields. There's no doubt about the lost. The multitudes are out there. We need workers. Now, I'm just about done. One third thought. The stirring results in this command. He commands His disciples to pray that God would thrust forth laborers into His harvest. And let me tell you something simple but very important. Whenever God sets His people to pray for something, it is because He is ready to give them a blessing. I say that because when you come to chapter 10 and verse 1, you read, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. And then you read in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any of the cities of Samaritans do you enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He says, pray that God would thrust forth laborers. And guess what? I have to believe those disciples began to pray for laborers. And then what happens? They get sent forth as laborers. God answered their prayers. That means, brothers and sisters, when you set yourself to praying seriously, honestly, for laborers for the harvest field, you've got to honestly say to yourself, "Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Could I be one of them? Could I be one of them?" If you are in earnest about this, God will be earnest with you. Now, will you pray? My voice is going to grow silent. This will be another conference, missionary convention that will be over. And will that mean that we'll all go back to what we go back to and nothing about our prayers will change? Nothing about our communion with God will change as a result of hearing the will of Jesus Christ concerning the lost multitudes. As far as I'm concerned, the Lord will do great, great things in raising up missionaries from this denomination. If every church sets itself to praying specifically and continually, Lord, thrust forth laborers into your harvest field. May the Lord give us all the grace to do that for His name's sake.